Whether you're working from home, streaming the big game, online shopping, or gaming, Upcountry Fiber offers high-speed fiber internet to fit all your needs. With more devices connecting to the internet in our homes, a fast and reliable internet package is essential. Visit upcountryfiber.com and click the Updates tab for a live coverage map and answers to frequently asked questions. Upcountry Fiber, a stronger connection. A partner of Blue Ridge Electric Cooperative.
With the largest coverage of any sports talk station in the upstate, nobody does it better than us. We are 105.5 and 97.5, The Roar, where every day is game day.
Hour number three, out of bounds. William Quaggenbush, Ben Milstead, Kansas and Howard just underway. We're going to give some thoughts on that one coming up. West Virginia up a point, 53-52 on Maryland with 8:52 left in the game. Virginia leads at the under 16 media timeout, 14:04 remaining. 42-35 over Furman. The Paladin shooting just 35%. Virginia just 0 of 3 from 3, though. They are 17 of 34 from 2, which is remarkable. And then Missouri leading Utah State 23-18 with 8:07 to go in the first half. We're going to talk to Will Vannevort coming up in just a little bit. Want to get to Roadrunner Russ, though, first before we squeeze in that phone call. What's up, Russ?
What's up, gentlemen?
How you doing, man?
Well, man, I'm doing good, man. It's that time of year. I'm feeling it, man. I'm thinking, listen, I want these upstate teams to win. You just pretty much said it, man. Furman's living and dying by the three. I haven't been sitting there watching it. You know, I've been pretty busy today. Been appreciating the updates, too, as well, gentlemen. But they got to start hitting that paint, man. And the only way they're going to beat Virginia is if their seniors band together. I don't see it happening. But I do want to get y'all's thoughts on that game coming up later with Charleston. I know it's been talked about a lot. But that's probably the best chance that the state's got for a chance to get a win in the tournament. So, overall thoughts on that ball game as it approaches.
This would be my thought, Russ, and I appreciate the phone call. Thank you. We talked about it quite a bit yesterday. My thought on San Diego State and Charleston is Charleston has to do a lot of the same stuff that Furman does, and that they need to, they've got to bother San Diego State coming up the floor, maybe hurry them a little bit. They need to be able to play free, and they need to be able to play offense in the full court. They do not need to go up against San Diego State's half court defense because they'll get eaten alive by that. And we'll see if they're able to do that. I think maybe even more than Furman, they need to establish a tempo of playing that is going to help them win the game. We'll talk more about that game. We'll get some picks after the start of Kansas and Howard and some of the other games on the day coming up a little bit later. But right now, it's our weekly visit. Will Vannevort, he's at Steeler Will on Twitter. Check him out at allclemsontigers.com and the Believe Podcast Network. Willie V, what's up, man?
What's going on, Clark and Ben? How y'all doing?
Oh, we're doing okay, man. Appreciate you joining us a day later than usual this week. And I didn't think, or I'm sure you didn't think that you'd be doing the post-mortem on Clemson season after the first round NIT game. What are your thoughts on what we saw in Little John last night?
Yeah, I thought, and by the way, I appreciate you letting me move it today. I was unable to do it yesterday, so I appreciate that.
Sure.
I thought as far as last night's game goes, I thought Clemson, to me, looked like a team that was emotionally and just physically spent. When you look at the fact of how those shots were missing last night, they weren't missing long. They were missing short. Like the free throws were hitting the front end of the rim. You know, the three-pointers were always hitting the front end. They weren't really missing shots long. I thought they were just drained, and I thought that started to creep up there at the end of the first half, and we saw Morehead State get back in the game, and Brad talked a little bit about you know, he thought there was a little bit of that. And the way guys, if they practice, guys just, you know, younger guys especially, he says, you know, were taking shots. They were wide open. But he's like, you know, that's what they wanted you to do, was take that kind of shot. And he thought they kind of fell into the trap of what they were doing. And a lot of it, I thought, was just, you know, they put so much into the last couple of weeks just trying to convince the committee with their play that they deserve to be in the tournament. And, you know, you look at the way they ended the season, winning 4 out of the last 5 games, I believe, going into the ACC tournament. They ended up winning winning a tournament game against NC State. And then to get the disappointment of not making the tournament, I thought it just lingered. And I know some people will be like, well, you got to move on, you got to get over it. Think about the time when you were the most disappointed in your life, when something you really, really wanted didn't come to fruition, and how long it took you to get over it and get past that. Well, that's kind of what the Clemson basketball team showed me last night. They just, emotionally and physically, they just were drained. And you could just tell. It just showed up there, and showed up late in the first half, and it showed up late in the game. And that usually shows a team that's tired, in my opinion.
You know, I don't disagree, but it does beg the question, though, what happened in the first part of the game? Because the first 12 minutes, they're up 15. And it becomes a harder sell for people when you actually don't come out flat. You sort of get flat when the game's going. What would you say there?
Well, they did. I thought they did come out flat. Yeah, they built a 15-point lead, but that's because Morehead State was flat, too, and trying to feel their way into the game. And I thought, I mean, look at Clemson's three-point shooting. Hunter Tyson makes his first basket, three-pointer, to start the game. And then he didn't make a single one the rest of the night, you know. And like, they didn't shoot the ball well at all, three-point range. They weren't shooting the ball good early in the game from three-point range. And they just happened that Morehead State was still struggling to find its shot, too, at the time. And then what happened was Morehead State found theirs. Clemson never did. And you know, yeah, they came out of the game and they got a good lead. But I don't think that was because – Clemson was just lighting it up out from the – they weren't lighting it up at all. They were not shooting very well the whole game. They did not shoot well the entire game. Yes, they had a 15-point lead, and they blew a 15-point lead. But I think you got to give some credit to the other guy on the other side, too. I thought Morehead State settled into the game, started playing – you know, started believing they could win the game, and Clemson tightened up. And generally, that's where I go with the mental fatigue. I just thought they were mentally fatigued and drained, man. And to me, it showed the whole game for the most part. You know, they didn't shoot well. I mean, that wasn't just from the middle of the second half on, first half on. That was they started the game not shooting well. They weren't lighting it up like they had been in other games.
Oh, you're right about that. Visiting with Will Vandervoort here on the program. Check him out, the Believe Podcast Network, and all Clemson Tigers. .com. All right, let's turn our attention to baseball for a moment. Clemson baseball come from behind, one run win. They've got a conference series opener scheduled for tomorrow. Not looking super promising, but scheduled for tomorrow against Duke. And they're coming in on a 6-game win streak after the South Carolina series loss. Where do you see this Clemson baseball program, especially given the come from behind victory that we saw against Charleston this week?
Well, because I've been doing other things with football and basketball, Coach Backett's just probably hoping I don't come anymore because they've won 6 straight since I last was at a game. I covered a game of theirs. That was the Sunday game in Columbia. They've won 6 straight, so I'm sure they're hoping I don't ever show up because they've been playing well. And I've been following them, of course, you know, through listening to you and Bob and Don and Brad. And then also I've been following it on Game Track, on Stat Broadcast as well. You know, I will say this about them from just hearing you guys call the game. This team's got a lot of fight in them. You know, they don't give up. They continue to stay with it. They don't seem to panic. And, you know, how many of these games have they won during a 6-game win streak that they won in the 7th, 8th, or 9th inning? I mean, the majority of them, right? I mean,
yeah.
You know, that's something early in the season they weren't doing. So that's showing a little bit of improvement. You got a long way to go, and Duke's not going to be easy out at all this week. And you know they're going to have to play well to win this series. Remember the last time Duke came to Doug Kingsmore Stadium, they did something. Not only they've never done at Clemson, but they did two things they've never done at Clemson. A, they beat Clemson at Doug Kingsmore Stadium for the first time ever. And B, they swept Clemson for the first time ever at Doug Kingsmore Stadium. So, Clemson, Duke will have Clemson's full attention, I'm sure. But it's going to be a tough, tough opening series for Clemson. And like you said, man, these last couple of weeks, Clemson can't catch a break, it seems like, with the weather. It's like we get it for four straight days. It's real nice. And then Friday gets here, and it's like, it might happen. This might rain, which kind of sucks when you're trying to play a game and get your pitching set up and all that stuff.
Willie V, let's talk football now. I want to start with Pro Day stuff because, people were asking my thoughts on Pro Day. Honestly, I thought it was a pretty uneventful Pro Day, except for Miles Murphy opting not to participate. It seems like his resting posture now is opt-out. Yeah, what do you think about that? And then were there other storylines that caught your attention from that?
Well, I think the storyline that comes out of it was Trent Simpson. So I heard Dabo yesterday. He was great. He was talking about Trent. Trent's the way we all want to look when we're wearing underwear.
Gross.
Oh, man, it was hilarious. And, but he was just so impressive. Just the way he, again, just like he did at the Combine, just came out and just, again, wowed the guys. I think Trent Simpson, has, with his workouts, Qualk, no surprise, right? He has earned himself, a first-round pick. I really do believe that. If he's not in the first round, then something's seriously, seriously wrong. I hope he falls to maybe the 32, and my Steelers will pick him up there at number 32. We could use a middle linebacker, and I think that would be perfect fit there in Pittsburgh 3-4. But I digress. I thought he did well, and then, I think it was good to, Jordan McFadden and those guys as well, just to kind of be in front of the scouts and talk to them and, try to just to convince. It's a job interview, and that's what's so, when people talk about the combines and stuff, that's what they are. These are job interviews for these players. And, yes, they're going to turn on the film and look to see how they play the game, because that's the most important thing. But you also get to see the young man's character, how he handles things when he's working out, how he deals with things maybe didn't go the way he wanted them to, how's his body language look. And then they get in there and talk to him, and they ask him all sorts of questions and things again, and they want to see how they respond. Probably some of the questions are the same questions they got at the combine, right? But, okay, how much did their answer change? And how did they respond to that answer? So it's all those kind of different things, but yeah, I think the story, though, was Trent Simpson, again, just continues to show how dominant he can be and what kind of special player he is.
All right, last one for you. We'll talk a little present football spring practice. Garrett Riley's install. Dabo Swinney said yesterday it's going maybe a little better than expected. Do we feel like that's lip service, or do we feel like they truly are ahead of schedule? And then I keep reading a lot of good stuff about Christopher Vezina, like, what are we doing here with another quarterback controversy potentially at this point?
Well, look, first of all, Coach Sweeney is a master of how to get his message to his players through the media. And he knows all those freshmen, and the freshman parents are checking the things he says. So he's saying the right things, if you will. Now, do I think that he's not doing well? Of course he's doing well in practice. I don't think that's coach speak. I just think, do we have a quarterback controversy? No, not right now. I think, Cade Klubnik is clearly the guy, and, everything we're hearing, he's that guy. But, he's playing well. That was talking about what a good spring he's having and how he's adjusted to the new coaching and really come on. So, but, Dabo's got two things here he's got to do. He wants to show some love to the freshmen, but also he wants to, show some competitions there. Because that's important, right? They want to have competition at that position, and they're going to have it with these two guys. So they're both, highly ranked recruited players, and so they're going to push each other, and that's going to be good for Cade Klubnik when it's all said and done. But, yeah, as far as this installation of the offense, I think some of it's true, because I remember last year Dabo didn't say things like that. In years past, I don't remember him saying things, not in the spring, to say we got a lot of it already installed and stuff like that. He would say things like we still got – to install some things and work on some things before we get to the summer part. But I think a lot of that, Qualk, the reason why is because they're going to have they've talked about this. They're not going to be as many plays as much as they're going to be doing the same plays over and over again and doing them really well. They're just really simplifying the offense. It's not going to be, you know, 100 plays, different 85 to 100 plays they have set in. They're going to kind of go with maybe 40 or 50 plays. And I think that's a whole lot easier to install when you're not having to install as much. And so that's probably why they are at the point where they are offensively right now. And I think, again, that's Riley's system. He talked about it. It's a simple system, and it's not complicated. And he thought the players would adjust to it pretty easily. It seems like that's the case so far.
Follow him on Twitter, @SteelerWill. Check him out at allclemsontigers.com and the Believe Podcast Network. Thanks, buddy. Always good to visit with you, and I look forward to doing it again next week.
All right, man. Happy March Madness Day.
Exactly. It's the best day of the year. I know you love it, buddy, as much as anyone. Thanks, bud.
Oh, absolutely. It's basketball. Talk to you later, man.
There you go. Will Vannevoort joining the party. And don't look now. I know Virginia just scored, but Furman is within six. 52-46 the score. West Virginia and Maryland now tied at 59 with 4:31 left in the game. Get excited for that. Missouri's up three on Utah State, 28-25. Utah State within three despite going 0-for-9 from three. So, way to take my theory and just punt it as far as you can. And then Kansas leads Howard by six, 19-13, with 11:28 to go in the first half. That is what we've got going on right now in the NCAA tournament. When we come back, we'll talk more brackets because we got more games to pick. Coming up next, stay with us. We'll
get
go to the
ready
phone.
To slam dunk those dirty carpets with Zero Res Carpet and Air Duct Cleaning. As the madness of March approaches, it's time to get your home in order. Zero Res uses no harsh chemicals, leaving your carpets safe for your family and your pets. Whether you're hosting a watch party or just need a refresh, the cleaning pros at Zero Res have you covered. Right now, mention my name, Mickey Plowler, at The Roar, and you'll get three rooms of carpet clean for only $119. Book online at ZeroResGreenville.com.
What if there was a paint that made you look at paint differently? One that completely rewrote paint's genetic code so it can strengthen any color? What if it's built with better ingredients? Even given superpowers? Since Benjamin Moore reinvented the way paint is made, it makes you wonder, is it still paint? Benjamin Moore, paint like no other.
The Carter Color Company, 1067 Tiger Boulevard, Clemson. Your independent, local Benjamin Moore paint retailer.
What's under your home can get into your home. A sealed crawl space keeps out moisture, mold, and pests. Canty Foundation Specialist is your local, trusted expert in crawl space sealing. Call us today for your free estimate.
Canty can fix it.
Call the local experts for a free estimate. Call Canty Foundation Specialist at 864-403-5263 and ask about transferable warranties and available financing. That's 864-403-5263 or online at cantycanfixit.com.
East Main Furniture in Easley. Clearance sale is going on now. Everything in stock is highly discounted for great savings. Come find deals on living room, bedroom, dining room, lamps, rugs, mattresses, and occasional furniture. Brands like Lazy Boy, England, Best, Ashley, Cat Dapper, and Liberty Furniture, all at discounted prices. Hurry in for the best selection. East Main Furniture, located at 829 East Main Street in Easley, or call 864-442-6054 today.
Trucks cost less than travelers rest, and our friends at George Coleman Ford have brand new F-150s in stock awaiting you. It's been quite a while since I could say that, so act now and take advantage. And the 23 model F-150 has interest rate specials as low as 0% for 36 months through Ford Motor Credit. Good through April 3rd with approved credit over 90 years doing business right, spanning four generations. George Coleman Ford, the very best right there in Travelers Rest.
It's time for one of the Roar's biggest events of the year, the Roar Bracket Challenge, brought to you by Mellow Mushroom of Clemson and Upcountry Fiber. Head on over to theroarfm.com to fill out your bracket and let us know who you think will be crowned national champion. Winner gets airline and hotel accommodations in Las Vegas. Deadline to submit is Thursday at noon. Be sure to head to theroarfm.com to fill out your bracket. We are the Roar, where every day is game day.
Come home to Clemson. While the students are on spring break, join the Clemson Alumni Association for the second annual Alumni Spring Break.
Beginning Friday, March 24th, join fellow alumni and friends for fun, campus tours, golf, and live music at Clemson's Alumni Spring Break. You walked across campus during your years as a student, but you won't believe how much it's changed. See the growth around campus with various campus tours, walk inside both new and historic facilities. Head downtown Friday night to a closed College Avenue playing host to a concert and block party beginning with a Clemson fave, Craven Melon, and then the legendary Driving and Crying. Take part in the alumni golf gathering at the Walker Course and spend time on campus and in town like you did as a student. The second annual Clemson Alumni Spring Break beginning Friday, March 24th at your home away from home, Clemson. For registration information, go to alumni.clemson.edu/alumni-spring-break. That's alumni.clemson.edu/alumni-spring-break. Alumni Spring Break starting Friday, March 24th. Go Tigers!
Quite often, animals show us how to be our best selves. They make us laugh when we've had a hard day, smile when it's raining, and cuddle when we just need a companion. Sometimes pet owners need a little help with their care, and that's why Clemson Paw Partners was created, offering low-cost spay, neuter, and vaccinations for dogs and cats in the upstate. All staff except vets and techs are 100% unpaid volunteers with big hearts for helping animals in our community. Donate and learn more today at clemsonpawpartners.org.
Live and local sports talk coming to you from the Upcountry Fiber Studios.
This is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar.
Serving the five counties of the South Carolina upstate, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
With the largest coverage of any sports talk station in the upstate, nobody does it better than us. No, I said nobody. No, really. Know someone better? They don't exist. We're 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, where every day is game day.
Coming down to the wire here as hour three continues. Maryland now up 3-62-59 with 3:17 to go in a game. Back and forth they go in game number one of the tournament in the South Regional. How about Virginia up just three on Furman, 54-51. Bad news for Furman, though, as Mike Bothwell has fouled out with about 6 minutes left. And so Furman's going to have to play without one of their leaders, but they have the ball now down by three with less than six to play, and they have just tied the score, Ben.
How about 54 it?
54 all with 5:35 left. Furman and Virginia all knotted up. We have four close games, as a matter of fact, because Missouri leads Utah State with 2:26 to go in the first half by a score of 30-27, and Kansas has gone on a 5-0 run to take the lead over Howard 24-20 with just under 10 minutes left in the first half. So even a 1:16 is close here in the early viewing window of the NCAA tournament. This is why nobody wants to work today. This is why we're here. This is why we do this. This is why we fill out brackets so we can feel this way. And Furman has just taken the lead, Ben, 56-54. That was a was that Slauson?
With an and-one coming here, with a foul shot coming. Yeah, Bothwell, Furman was running some kind of zone and had him on the back end of it. So he was drawing a tough assignment. He's trying to defend guys jumping over top of him and just put him in an unfortunate situation. But Bob Ritchie and that adjustment at halftime really seems to have confused Virginia, so they don't know what's hit them right now, and we have 5 minutes to go, a foul shot coming, but they lead by two. That one, you know, unfortunate that Bothwell fouls out. Fouls have not been the name of the game there. West Virginia, Maryland, as you might expect, 40 fouls now in that one.
Oh man!
Yeah,
40 fouls.
Maryland, West Virginia, a bunch of fouls. Are we surprised?
You know what? No. But you know what is shocking, though? We're in automatic foul territory and just got here.
I don't think we've talked about it, but so when you get into the tournament, you are being officiated a lot of times by officials who have not called your games all year long.
Yes.
And we're not really watching West Virginia, Maryland. I'm flipping back and forth here, but I wonder if that's the case there, where they've both played one brand of basketball and now it's being called a different way. That happens in the tournament.
I would say that's part of it. West Virginia, if you look at their numbers, they foul and are fouled at a very high rate. So to me, that has something to do with it, that the game is sort of being played at West Virginia's pace and tempo. But they've already had one player foul out, West Virginia. Maryland's got two with four. West Virginia's got one with four. They have one, two, three, four, five players with at least three fouls. And, yeah, and it's not going to get better because down the stretch of games, especially games that are close, there's going to be an automatic foul situation.
So in the Furman, Virginia, Furman's running a 1-3-1, and Virginia has no idea how to break this. They are not used to their guards being doubled on the wing like they are. And they're not a good offense, a great offense to begin with, but they are totally lost with what Furman is throwing at them right now.
Furman is on a 9-0 run to take this lead. Again, it's the first lead that they've held in the entire game. And this would be a monumental 13 over a 4, but it would be yet another Tony Bennett team that underachieved in the tournament. So that part would not shock anybody.
Yeah, well, let's wait. I mean, let's wait and see what happens here. But so far, it looks great for the Paladins.
I'm also right now at the under 8. Candace is up 2 on Howard. Howard is shooting 56% against a very good defensive team in Kansas and is 4 of 8 from 3. I don't know if that can continue, but I guarantee you Kansas's defense, I'm not sure that Kansas is going to be able to engage in a game like that. Maybe halftime, Bill Self puts a foot in their rear and they come out with their hair on fire.
Well, it won't be Bill Self.
Well, true. That's very true. It's odd. It's odd to me that Howard is able to stick with them despite the fact they've turned the ball over, they've given up 5 offensive rebounds, all the stuff I thought that Howard would do, and it's because they are shooting 56% from the floor. Let's go to Chuck, who's up with us next. What's up, Chuck?
Hey, guys. I'm sorry. I mean, if y'all going to have to give me a little break here. Is it okay if I ask something about softball?
Sure.
I mean, if I can't, and that's okay. I know it's
go ahead, Chuck.
All day. But does the Roar plan on doing any more radio on the softball? That's my question. And that game last night, when it was such a downer for the basketball, was a great game. And I enjoyed watching those girls because they don't have die. Mackenzie Clark crushed that one, and then the little girl hit one off the scoreboard out there. I just enjoy watching them, and I just wanted to ask if they planned on doing any more radio with the softball this year. And one more question about softball. I'm looking forward to April 6th and 7th because I watched Florida State beat the Maxwell girls that knocked Clemson out last year. I did watch them beat them, but they took 2 out of 3 from FSU. Does RPI mean anything if you think clock and bend when it gets down to the end? And I'll let it go with that. And sorry to ask softball when the basketball is on the forte today, but thank you for taking my call.
Thanks, thank Chuck. Appreciate the phone call very much.
There are some tentative plans to do some more softball. I don't know how much of that I can say at this point, but there is at least one series that is being eyed coming up. And then my assumption is that we'll try to do postseason again. We have to do that in conjunction with the university and scheduling and all that good stuff. But would love to get as much on the air as we can.
Absolutely. And I do think, I think there is an appetite for it. I mean, last night, look, we said it. Charlotte is a good team. Charlotte has a high RPI. They played a top 10 strength of schedule. And that was a 1-1 game for a while. And then Clemson just erupted. Mackenzie Clark with the bat slam. I love that. There's no flippage with Mackenzie Clark. You're just slamming the bat. I mean, she hit a ball in the moat across the street. You could see it hit the street because it bounced really high. So, like, it was hit very far. Oda had the walk. I mean, they're just They are doing everything well right now over and over again, game after game after game.
The other thing Mackenzie Clark did was she's on third. There's runner on second and third, grounder to third. Third baseman looks her back. She stands there like, what? As soon as she throws to first, she goes home without a slide. Like,
okay.
She's fast. Man, she's fast.
She is. I routinely hear her named one of the, maybe the most underrated player in college softball. And to that, I would just say it's time to properly rate her.
When's the last time, though, that you saw a runner get looked back and then they go anyway?
Oh, yeah, and not even close. You didn't even get a throw to the plate. No, it's not even close. Yeah, they looked her back, and she didn't move an inch, like you said. She did not surrender an inch. She knew she was going. She knew. That's what Clemson's done a good job of, is really keeping the pressure on everybody that they've played thus far, which is why they – are tied for fourth in the poll. And to Chuck's question, Florida State is sixth. They've got to get past Virginia, which there has been an adjustment to the schedule for softball this weekend. They will now play, instead of a game Friday, we're still waiting on baseball word. I would imagine baseball probably going to follow suit. But they are going to play a softball doubleheader at 1 and 3 on Saturday with their first two games. So they have pushed Friday's opening game to part of a doubleheader on Saturday, in case you were wondering about that, if you got tickets to McWhorter Stadium.
You mentioned Florida State. They went to Oklahoma two nights ago and played just smart on their part, thinking, okay, well, there's a good chance we may have to play there at some point in postseason. And Oklahoma, they gave Oklahoma all they wanted. Ended up losing 5-4, but it took a 4-run inning from Oklahoma to come back and win that one. So there's some, yeah, the Florida State Clemson series in a couple weeks, that one is looking to be one of the better ones that you're going to, that's a postseason matchup.
All right, I want to get a few spread picks from you, because you have picked all the games, and I'm going to give the few that I have as well. Before we do that, I got to tell you about our friends at PhD Weight Loss. You can go to myphdweightloss.com. You can see the difference with Dr. Ashley Lucas and her team from other weight loss companies, other weight loss plans. I mean, there's so many people who will tell you that they tried all the fad diets and all the ways to lose weight, and what happened is they either worked or they didn't, and even the ones that worked, it was difficult to keep that weight off, or impossible to keep that weight off. You just can't do it. Well, at PhD Weight Loss, it is possible to keep the weight off. In fact, you can read the testimonials of people who have lost tons of weight and have totally radically changed the way they think about food, the way they relate to food in their lives. It's just a beautiful thing to see people's lives change by PhD Weight Loss, and the mental side and the emotional side and the physical side, obviously, of going on the PhD Weight Loss plan. Get into weight loss as I did. You can drop the weight, and then after I lost 24 pounds in 5 weeks, I've been in maintenance for a year, and not a pound has been added. For more information, go to myphdweightloss.com. That's myphdweightloss.com. Lots of close games down the stretch, Ben. You had a play on Howard and Kansas, who, by the way, are tied at 33 with 5 minutes left in the first half. What was your call on that game against the number?
Well, the fact that it's tied, I really don't want to give you my play on that one. But, yeah, Kansas minus 22. I expect they turn it on in the second half, but that looks like a uphill battle at the moment. I took Kansas. Look, I did this just because we said we were going to pick them all, so I did.
Might as well, right? Alabama and Texas Corpus Christi is a 2:45 start, which that game is going to be pushed. That will not start on time because West Virginia, Maryland has turned into a review fest, and so that game is going very long. You like Alabama laying the points in that one?
I do. 24. That's a lot of points.
Charleston, meanwhile, taking on San Diego State. 54.9% of people in our bracket took San Diego State to win. That is a 5-point spread. You like the underdog and the points there?
I do. I like Charleston plus 5. I'm not shocked if they win that one outright. But if I had to guess, this is a last possession game. San Diego State pulls it out.
It's very similar to the Furman game to me in that I'm concerned about if that number was like 6 or 6.5, I might. 5 has scared me. But if I were going to play it, I would actually take Charleston in that spot.
Yeah, and I, for whatever reason, I feel better about San Diego State versus Charleston than I did backing Virginia over Furman.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Which, by the way, 2:33 left, Furman still with a 3-point lead.
I want to give one more before we take our final break here. Princeton and Arizona. I love this game. It looks like several books have taken it off the board. I don't know what that means exactly, but I'm taking the points with Princeton here. I took 15 with Princeton. I think Princeton keeps this within single digits.
Yeah, I did the same thing. And we need to find out what's going on in that game.
Yeah, I saw the number get pushed to 14.5, and then I just saw there are several that have an NA beside it as I'm looking at Vegas Insider. I said I was going to do one more. We'll do two more, and that'll wrap up the late afternoon slate. Illinois and Arkansas, 62.9% of brackets in our contest have Arkansas over Illinois. Arkansas is a slight favorite, Ben. Who do you like?
I'm trying to find it, but I know that I like Arkansas. What was the number?
It is 1.5 right now, unless there's been a recent update. Let me refresh here and see. I'm looking at 1.5. Yeah, Arkansas minus 1.5 in this game.
Did I not play that one? I don't see it.
Maybe you didn't. It's a coin flip, folks. It really is a coin flip. That's a stay away from me because I do think Matthew Mayer can get hot, but I have Arkansas in my bracket, as do 63% or so of our listeners. 1:37 to go in the game. Reese Beekman at the line, and Virginia's down 1 to Furman, 63-62. Maryland is up 3. West Virginia has the ball with like 10 seconds left, and they're not even scoring. Like, I don't know what they're doing. West Virginia's going to lose this game because they took 8 years with the ball. Rarely do you say West Virginia played a slow possession. They're now within 1 with 8.4 seconds left. We're coming down to the wire. Final segment of the program will give you the riveting conclusion of both these games next.
Gentlemen, erectile dysfunction or low T got you down? Take action now and turn your life around. Call Greenville Men's Clinic at 301-1111 or greenvillemensclinic.com. Make the call today, 301-1111 or greenvillemensclinic.com.
Are allergies keeping you down in March? Zero Res Air Duct Cleaning's professional cleaning process removes dirt, dust, and pollen from your air ducts, helping to reduce allergens in your home. This means you can enjoy a cleaner, healthier indoor environment. Right now, mention my name, Mickey Plowler, at The Roar, and you'll get $50 off your next air duct cleaning. Use a promo code AIR50 when scheduling online at ZeroResGreenville.com.
M&J Auto Parts is your local independent auto parts warehouse. If you have an import, domestic, or slingshot vehicle, we have the parts you need. With over 100 years of staff experience, we'll get you back on the road quickly and affordably. We have also partnered with Jasper Engines and Carrier Rough Country Off-Roading Parts. All parts carry a national warranty, so if a part fails, you are covered. Visit our warehouse, 106 West Wade Hampton Boulevard, Greer, or call us at 864-469-9389. We are here to help you. M&J Auto Parts.
The Bojangler's back at Bojangles, a crispy fish fillet dusted with Bo's famous seasoning, with the same bold flavor as their chicken and fries. Hook one while you can.
Standing water or that musty smell in your basement can be a sign of major problems. Canty Foundation Specialists are your local experts in basement waterproofing and crawl space repair. Call us today for a free estimate.
Canty can fix it.
Call the local experts for a free estimate. Call Canty Foundation Specialist at 864-403-5263 and ask about transferable warranties and available financing. That's 864-403-5263 or online at cantyconfixit.com.
Griff's Farm and Home Center has expanded with a new greenhouse and is now a Do It Best Hardware member. They have everything you need for your home, farm, and garden with products by Fox Farm, Miracle-Gro, Diamond, Valspar, Cabot, and a new paint department that can handle all of your needs. Located behind the Burger King in Pendleton, visit griffsfarmandhome.com to learn more or call 864-646-3259. If you mention The Roar, get an additional $5 off any $50 purchase during March.
Pinnacle Veterinary Group takes a proactive, progressive approach to individualized medicine aimed to keep your pet healthier longer. Being locally owned and a private practice, they utilize low-stress techniques and fear-reducing strategies for every patient. Their facility is equipped to care for your pet for whatever health issues they may have or any testing that needs to be done. The first and only practice achieving AHA accreditation in Pickens County. Call 624-8824 or online pinnacleveterinarygroup.com.
Come home to Clemson. While the students are on spring break, join the Clemson Alumni Association for the second annual Alumni Spring Break. Beginning Friday, March 24th, join fellow alumni and friends for fun, campus tours, golf, and live music at Clemson's Alumni Spring Break. You walked across campus during your years as a student, but you won't believe how much it's changed. See the growth around campus with various campus tours, walk inside both new and historic facilities. Head downtown Friday night to a closed College Avenue playing host to a concert and block party beginning with a Clemson fave, Raven Mellon, and then the legendary Driving and Crying. Take part in the alumni golf gathering at the Walker Course and spend time on campus and in town like you did as a student. The second annual Clemson Alumni Spring Break beginning Friday, March 24th at your home away from home, Clemson. For registration information, go to alumni.clemson.edu/alumni spring break. That's alumni.clemson.edu/alumni spring break. Alumni Spring Break starting Friday, March 24th. Go Tigers!
The world is always on, but you shouldn't be. Put junk sleep to bed.
During Mattress Firm's Big Spring Sale, get a king bed for the price of a queen and save up to $700 on Sealy. Shop now at Mattress Firm. Restrictions apply. See store or mattressfirm.com for details.
The Varsity, where in Atlanta you can get a hot dog, but in South Carolina, you get sports talk. The Roar, where every day is game day.
See my share of broken halos, golden wings that used to fly.
All right, final segment of the program. Glad to have you with us. Furman has the ball right now with, I mean, they're down three, and boy, just, I mean, just hoisted a shot. I know you want to shoot quickly there, but you probably could have gotten a better look than that.
What arena? This is in Orlando, right?
It's in Orlando, yes.
Is that a hockey arena?
You know, it's a good question.
But I asked that because, and it just happened right there on that possession, several players losing their footing.
It very well could be.
On this court.
I don't know exactly where they are. If it's the Magic's arena or if it's the Florida Panthers. Aren't the Florida Panthers there? Clark just missed the free throw. God, Virginia at the foul line this year. And it feels like they've missed a lot of free throws down the stretch of games.
Our man, Faxon Childress, is down there at this game. So we can perhaps try to get him on the air tomorrow and talk about the arena and other nonsense.
Correct. Let's see. Foul on Virginia. So Virginia's up four. Clark split the pair of free throws. And Shedrick is whistled for the foul. Oh, man. He just flat out clobbered. He smacked him right in the face.
And then we also have a final.
Yes, we do. Maryland beat West Virginia by two, 67-65. They won despite not making a basket for the final 2:45 in the game. But West Virginia shot 39%, and Maryland was 15 of 22 from the free throw line. They were able to cash in. They were plus 10 in points in the paint, plus 5 on fast break, and they were just a little bit better than West Virginia in what was a virtual coin flip. So my bracket is already smashed, and Kia Clark just chucked the ball. What is he doing? He chucked the ball to half court. Furman for the win.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, my God. Oh! With 2 seconds. What was he doing? What was Clark doing?
Oh, man. So...
Oh, my Lord in heaven, what happened?
Furman is up a point with 2.2 to go, 68-67, after intercepting Kihei Clark's ill-advised pass. They take a couple of dribbles, bring it up to the three-point line, and get off a very clean shot, wide-open shot, and nothing but net. So, God, what in the world was he doing? So Clark is trying to throw it to the opposite end of the court, and he just came up woefully short.
That was, I mean,
he
that
like
was
Jimmy Garoppolo'd that thing. It
was
way
awful.
Short.
That was pathetic. And then Pegues, who's 0 for 3 from 3 to that point, nails the 3. Furman now with the 1 point lead and 2.2 seconds left. Again, I have not. I don't. Kia Clark has been in college for 19 years.
his arms are getting bad in his old age, man. He can't throw it that far anymore.
That was the worst brain fart I've seen since Weber called the timeout. What was that?
That was bad.
That was hideous.
For, you know what? And the irony there, for a player who has made just solid decisions on the court his entire career, that was perhaps the worst. They are at the Amway Center, by the way, in Orlando. That's the Orlando Magic's arena. There is an ECHL team that plays there, but I would be shocked if the ice was down, but you never know. You never the footing has been an issue there, though.
Yes.
So now Virginia has the ball. They can run the baseline. They have to inbound it and go the length of the court with 2.4 seconds, and they're going to get a good shot.
Yeah, they did. They got a good shot from the wing and missed it.
He missed it.
Off the glass, it rimmed off.
Oh,
and Furman wins
with the upset. How about it, Paladin?
68-67, the final. And Virginia is bounced again by a double-digit seed. And Furman wins in its first NCAA tournament appearance in decades. 42 years, right? Isn't it 42 years the last
time?
Since
1980.
Yeah, yes. 42, 43 years since the last time. And, boy, that was, with 2 seconds left, you're not going to get a better look than a 35-footer, like off a couple of dribbles. And how about Bob Ritchie and Furman with a 1 point win? You know, great for that program. With all of the heartbreak and the times when they were good enough to make the dance and they got bounced in the SoCon tournament, for them to be able to come from behind to win that game, to force the trap on Clark and get the ridiculous turnover. And then not just get the turnover, but make the shot. Props to Furman, man. That means 78.8% of people in our bracket pool missed that one. I'm 0-2 already, 0-2. And in fact, 56.6% of people picked West Virginia. So the team that got the team that was the underdog, quote unquote, that got less love in our bracket challenge has won each of the first two games, which is a good sign for Utah State, who is down 4 at the half, and Howard, who Kansas is now on an 8-0 run to close the first half. They are up 50-37 right now at with 1 second left in the first half. Holy cow. That was kind of neat, man. That was kind of neat. I know we got a lot of Furman fans listening, and I'm sure some of you didn't listen because you got it recorded and you're going home to watch. But, oh, man, what a finish. What a game. What a win for Furman. And you know what? The state of South Carolina does get an NCAA tournament win after all. And the Upstate gets a tournament win.
Could we really end up with a Furman-Charleston matchup?
Yes.
With the winner to go to the Sweet 16? Man, I will be pulling for Charleston so hard now because that'd just be awesome.
Well, and San Diego State's boring. I picked San Diego State. They're boring. You're boring, San Diego State. You know who's not boring? Charleston. You know who's not boring? Furman. You know what would have been the most boring second-round game of all the games? You wouldn't get a single casual to watch San Diego State and Virginia basically shoot the ball off the back iron to each other every 30 seconds. You couldn't pay casuals to watch that. Charleston Furman? Oh, we're pulling a number now. People are watching that. Text from the 803 says, Quawkin Ben, I'm on Main and Greenville right now. Riots are breaking out. They're tearing down the traffic signals. It's utter mayhem. I don't know if they're doing that or not, but I'm sure it is total pandemonium in downtown Greenville right now, and rightfully so, as Furman has won its NCAA tournament game against four-seeded Virginia this afternoon.
If you didn't get to see that shot, and I know many of you didn't, believe me, you're going to see that from now till eternity, that sequence of plays that sent gave Furman the lead. That's on the one shining moment highlight.
Oh, yeah.
Without a doubt.
Let me tell you this, too. It was, and I'm going to say this word, even though the kids are in the car, possibly. It was ballsy for them to, yeah, you were like, oh, it's just that. I'm sorry. Some parents might not like the word ballsy.
The kids are saying that themselves right now.
Mom, what's ballsy mean? Sorry. Just tell them I apologize to your kids. It was ballsy as all get out that they didn't foul, because Clark was the second guy to touch the ball in the backcourt. They were not. They were going to trap and at least make them get out of the corner. I don't know who had the ball first, but there was a pass backwards back to Clark, who was trapped in the corner, and they did not foul him with like 8 seconds left in the game.
And you and I were that's a ballsy move. We were talking about the 1-3-1 zone against Virginia, though. And just how effective that was, as Virginia sets up the little side motion on either side of the low post. That 1-3, it just totally took all of that away from Virginia, because there's somebody standing there.
Yes, I thought it was a brilliant adjustment. Like you said, it was a brilliant move tactically to take something out of Virginia's bag. They always have a couple things they can go to, but it took something out of their bag, and it didn't allow them to sort of operate the way that they, the way that they would like to. We got about 3 minutes left. I don't know how in the world that this segment just flew by. This hour of the program is brought to you in part by our friends at Toyota of Easley. Go by and see them today. Get your hands on a newer pre-owned vehicle right now at a dealership you can trust. And you can trust them for sales. You can trust them for service. You can trust them because they have won the President's Award many, many, many times over for every single thing that you can possibly imagine. That is the sign of a great dealership. That's the sign of a dealership that looks out for its customers. When you talk about a sales department that's second to none, ownership on site daily, a service department that's second to none, you can't find that a lot of places. Some places are good at one or the other, or some of that. Toyota of Easley checks all those boxes, and they have a great website. For more information, go on that website. See if you can start the process here at toyotaofeasley.com. Ben, I want to list off the four games in the early evening slate tonight. You tell me if any of these grip you, okay? Auburn, Iowa, Oral Roberts, Duke, Colgate, Texas, Boise State, and Northwestern.
I like all those. I took Auburn -1, Duke -6, and Texas -13.
Okay, very good. I'm thinking about Oral Roberts, and I'm really thinking about Colgate here. And I would take Auburn because of location if I trusted them at all. But there's a little part of me that just does not. They're 3-8 in their last 11 games. I do not trust Auburn. Now that final set from 9:20 to 10:05, going to be a late night, folks. Northern Kentucky, Houston, Louisiana, Tennessee, Penn State, Texas A&M, and UNC Asheville and UCLA. Any of those float your boat there, Ben?
I'm really interested in that Texas A&M, Penn State. I feel very confident about A&M, which makes me nervous.
You know what? And I feel good about Penn State. That, I think, is the one where we have the most stark disagreement about the Penn State and Texas A&M game. I'm also going to say this. UCLA without Clark, and Walt and I were talking about, you can hear Walt talk about these games from 3 to 7 today as well, or 3 to 6:45, I should say. I feel like UNC Asheville can cover that number. What's it, 15 right now? if that number stays at 15, I think I might take that. Asheville's got some neat pieces, and I think UCLA is still kind of trying to find itself a little bit with Clark's absence on both ends of the floor. They have some stars. They're going to win the game, but I think that is an interesting spread. I also think Houston, given check for Sasser's updates, that line opened at 20.5. I've seen it down as low as 18 earlier today. I don't exactly know where it is right now. If we have more time, I'd look it up. But see if you can find a little value on that. If Sasser is less than 100%, they may try to hold him or put him on a minutes restriction just to save him for later games. Again, I'm not sure that the Fighting Darren Horns at Northern Kentucky are going to beat Houston, but I do think they could push them if Sasser is not healthy.
That is still 18.
18? Okay, mm-hmm. Very good. We'll see what happens with that. I'm excited for a day's worth of basketball watching games, except for when I'm calling a game. In Little John Coliseum tonight, women's NIT, $5 gets you in the door. Come on by, general admission, watch the Tigers and High Point. Sarah Jo Lawrence and I will have that pregame at 6:45. We're talking a lot of hoops tomorrow. God bless. We'll see you then. Waltz up next.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
Friends, the winter closeout sale at Elkmont is going on now. This is a sale you do not want to miss. 40 to 60% off on most fall clothing from Patagonia, Z Supply, Columbia,